Welcome all of our guests to Calvary Gospel Church this awesome Sunday morning. We just are happy that you're here. We have a small card we'd like you to fill out. It's a connection card. And you can get one of these from any one of our ushers, or you can go to the kiosk in the foyer and fill that out. If you're visiting with us online, there's a bit.ly link that you can see on your screen that has that same information. Or you can look at our church life app, and it's also a link on there. Someone can help you out with that. So thank you for coming, and we're just glad you're here today. We have some giving options today. You may be seated. There's four ways to give here at Calvary Gospel Church. You can give online at cgcmadison.org/giving, or there's a link right on the front of the webpage there. Or you can give in person. You just drop off your an offering envelope or cash or check in the acrylic box that's in the kiosk that's marked for offerings. You can also give by mail if you want to send in your offering. There's an address there on the screen. Or you can give by the mobile giving app that we have. It's called Church Center. If you want to search in the Google Play Store, or you can search on the Apple Store, you can just search for Church Center app, and you should see it. You can download that. If you're already in our database, you can enter in your phone number, and you should be able to follow a few prompts. If you have any problems with that, you can talk to one of the pastors on staff, and they should be able to help you walk through that, especially Pastor Phil or Sister Pastor Jess. Moving on, we have some announcements. Next Sunday, February 20th, is Men's 2022 Vision Service. And so all of the men of Calvary Gospel Church, we're inviting you out to at 7 p.m. right here at Calvary Gospel Church. We're going to have a special service just for men. And we'll probably hit up Culver's afterwards if anybody wants a Butterburger or some ice cream or some custard. We'll have that service here. If you want to have any more details about that, you can come and see me. We have a very extensive schedule for men's ministry in this year, and we want to be able to launch that at that time. Thursday, February 24th, is the annual business meeting. All CGC members are encouraged to attend our annual business meeting where we will review last year's financials and discuss what the Lord is doing at CGC. So everyone, Thursday, February 24th, we'd like anyone who's interested to please attend that meeting, as you can see on the screen. Sunday, March 6th, is going to be our spring baby dedication. In the 11 a.m. service, we are having our spring baby dedication service. If you're wanting to dedicate your child to the Lord, please register by the end of the month. You can head to the bit.ly link that's listed there on the screen, or you can click the button on the home center of the Church Life app. On the church center app. If you see that screen there, that's the home screen. If you first open up the app, all the way to the left, you'll see the home button. And it should be the first screen you see. That baby dedication link will take you and get you able to take care of everything you need to take care of. At this time, Sister Fiona has a special presentation.
Praise the Lord, church. Today I have the privilege of honoring a very special lady at our church, our pastor's wife, Sister Lois Grant. I usually come in, you can maybe seat it, I usually come in on Fridays to the church, and very often Sister Lois is here, and she's working, she's either cleaning or maybe doing some office work. And what I love about Sister Lois is her humility. It isn't beneath her at all to put on work clothes and clean the sanctuary right along with whatever else needs to be done. And she often prefers to work behind the scenes. Sister Lois also truly cares about people. I've sat in many meetings with her where people were sharing about their situations or maybe a difficult circumstance. And very often you could see, looking over at Sister Lois, her eyes fill with tears as she empathized with whatever the situation was that was being shared. Sister Lois is consistent. She is here all the time. There is not a time, it's very rare that you don't see her here at the church, here in service. And above all, I believe that she's a great teammate, and I believe that she is a great support, not only to pastor, but to our church as a whole. And so tomorrow is Sister Lois's birthday, and today, yes, let's give her a hand. And today we want to celebrate her and just give her a small token of our appreciation and just let you know that we love you, Sister Lois.
I just want to say thank you. And as you know, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. And I always just told everybody I was my dad's Valentine. And now I'm my husband's Valentine. But I know sometimes Valentine's Day is challenging to some people. And I just want to wish everybody happy Valentine's Day and say that maybe your situation's not what you wanted to be, but God loves you, and never forget that. And he will walk with you every single day, whether it's Valentine's Day or just an ordinary day. So thank you, and I love you all.
Let's go ahead and give her another hand. We love you, Sister Lois. And at this time, Pastor Jerry is just going to come and lead us in prayer for our service.
We can all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. It's being on the inside track as a pastor here at Calvary Gospel Church, being able to see our member care for the first time since we have our new database and app, I'm made aware of a lot of background prayer, background situations and things that are happening here at Calvary Gospel Church. You would not believe how much activity is happening and how many needs are actually present. It's overwhelming to try to come up here and lead in prayer, knowing the list that we would have to go through. It might take 4 to 5 minutes sometimes if we mention every situation. And so today I ask you, If you're here present and you've been affected by anything COVID-related, or if you have other health issues that you're concerned about, I would ask you if today I believe that God could do a miracle for you in your life. And we want to focus on you. I'm glad you're here. And if you're here at home, the same thing. If you just would stand or raise your hand to the Lord, extend your hand to the Lord, and those that are full of faith around you, wherever you're at, would you just touch them, lay your hand on their lives? Just touch them and pray for them. I want you to say their name out loud when you're praying for them. Speak their name and ask Jesus to heal their body. Speak out in faith right now. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, God, that all those that are sick in body, all those special prayer requests that are made mention day after day here at Calvary Gospel Church, all those that have made their way into the prayer circles, all those that have made their way into our member care system, Lord God, so many needs, God. I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you will touch this body of believers today, God, and individuals here that have come expecting a touch from you today, God. I ask you, God, that your blessings would pour upon your children today, God, that you would let them know that they are your son, that they are your daughter, that you care for them deeply, God. No matter what the situation, God, you can speak peace into their life, Lord, right now. Over every health situation, over every financial situation, over every physical situation, job situation, no matter what it is that's causing them grief, pain, or distress, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we declare your victory in this house today, God. We plead your blood upon every single soul that's here today, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, you'll bless, God, touch and heal, Lord, today, God, and have your way in this service. We praise your name, Jesus. We thank you, God. We give you glory. We honor you today, God. And we are so thankful for you allowing us to be in your presence today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Mighty is
Is here right now, and I wonder if we could raise our hands and engage the presence of the Almighty God, who came down to meet us, who came down to touch us, who inhabits the praises of His people. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Hallelujah. Declaring there is hope.
Your name is power. Your name is healing.
Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
The Lord, church, there's such a powerful, powerful presence. If you've never felt this before, maybe it's the first time here and this church isn't like normal church to you. Maybe you're watching online. This is the power. What you're feeling is a presence of a mighty, mighty God who has the ability to reach down into the hearts, into the minds, into the souls of every man, every woman, every child. And whatever your need is, whatever your struggle is, whatever your frustration is, he can deal with just that. And everybody's different. We're all different. God deals with every man. Some things he does very much the same. Salvation doesn't matter. It's the same for all. But how he deals with us as individuals, he's a very personal, personal God. And I'm so thankful. Thank you to our worship team. Did a phenomenal job this morning leading us into worship. I appreciate so very much our worship and our praise team. I'm thankful. I love every one of you. I'm so thankful to be here today. And you can be seated. Not wanting to break up what we're feeling here. Just because we switch gears a little bit doesn't mean that God leaves the building. He's here. But a few things I need to just mention here this morning before I get into our message this morning. On a rather humorous note, our sanctuary here is vacuumed on an hourly basis during off hours by a number of robotic vacuums that we have. And we went this route because it's very difficult to vacuum between the pews. If you've ever vacuumed in here, you would know what I'm talking about. But it's very difficult, and our robotic vacuum cleaners are pre-programmed, and our maintenance engineer, Johnny Grant, has an app on his phone, along with Brother Raphael, have worked together in this. And he can open up his phone, and he can tell me which vacuum is vacuuming, where it's vacuumed, what it's programmed to vacuum. When it was interrupted in its program because someone thought, what is this? And they pick it up. Or maybe move it, and it's on it's all GPS. Can you believe that technology has gotten? Listen, when it's full, it knows it's full, and it goes back, and it dumps itself. How awesome is that? And Sister Joanne Lutzgraff lost a diamond out of her ring, and RoboVac found it. Sucked it right up, deposited it in its bank. And Brother Jerry was going through the dust looking at the odd things it picks up and found a diamond and found out who the owner was. So if you are in here and you're praying and RoboVac invades your space, just leave him alone, please. Okay? Because we can tell when it gets interrupted, and they have been interrupted a lot lately, and we're not quite for sure what the issue is. But if you see RoboVac while you're praying, just step out of his way and let him do his thing. He will vacuum very quietly, very politely, kindly. He will vacuum your kneeling spot, so when you come back, it will be nice and clean the next time you come back. Also, we have a number of folks that watch, a number are elderly, that are not able to get out. And I just want us, if we could, just to all stand and look at the back at the sound booth. Everybody wave and just yell out a big, "We love you." Can you do that? We love our elderly. We love our folks that aren't able to make it. And we just want them to know that they do matter to us. They still matter to us. And it's great. And this is a really odd thing to bring up, but Brother Jerry had mentioned he's been helping me clean out my garage. I've not cleaned my shop as thorough as we're cleaning it now in 15 years since we moved in. And about 14 years ago, Brother Tom Nelson gave me a gunny sack, probably 75 pounds of golf balls. Brother Tom Nelson, if you're watching, we found those golf balls. And I will get them over to you so you can rehab your golf game come spring, because they'd asked recently if I had any of those golf balls left. Diane, we found them. So I will get those to you, Brother Nelson. God bless you. Oh, thank you, Brother Jerry, for preaching to us a Bible study today that is so very, very important. And we're going to kind of lead into this, what he spoke of, and kind of what I'm going to introduce today are kind of somewhat related in a sense, and you will see that as we go along. Today we're going to start a short series that I feel is very vital importance to the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and we know and we understand that we are God's body here on this earth. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his voice perhaps as well. And as Christians, we represent his kingdom. And we're very much, as an individual, we represent a country, we represent God. So when we say ambassadors for Christ, which is the name of Pastor O'Neill, the church on the west side, is ambassadors for Christ, we literally are ambassadors for Christ. We represent his kingdom. Just as an ambassador would represent the United States, we have ambassadors in every country in the world that represent the United States. And we have many ambassadors from different countries in the world here in the United States representing their countries as well. So as the church grows and as it adds members to the church, as well as sometimes we lose members. We lose members because they move away or their job transfers. People pass away and people move on. Some people leave over disagreements. People leave over hurt feelings. They get offended, much as the same in our workplaces. I like to say that everybody here at Calvary Gospel Church gets along with everybody here 100% of the time, but I would not be truthful if I told you that. We're not all perfect. We don't all see things the same way. But unlike a workplace, the church operates a bit different. What I'm saying by that is where if I was a owner of a machine shop and I needed a machinist, and I needed a certain skill level, or I needed a sales rep to sell our product, I would put an ad, probably not in the newspaper anymore. That's kind of old school. I don't know. Does anybody even read a newspaper anymore? I don't remember, though. Brother Seidel. If I would have had to have guessed anyone here, it would have been probably Brother Seidel. He loves to read. No offense in that. I used to go to Papa Jimmy's in Cottage Grove every now and then, and some days I go in there just because I know he has a paper, and nobody else reads it. It's always perfectly like it's brand new. It's never been opened. Nobody's played the puzzles. That's except for Brother Seidel. So you put an ad in the newspaper, Facebook Marketplace, wherever you advertise for your company, and you're looking for that machinist or that sales rep. Well, here at Calvary Gospel Church, we really can't do that way. We can't put an ad in the paper stating that we need someone that has the gift of healing and would like to hire them on at X amount of dollars and will give them X amount of benefits. We don't put ads in the paper starting salary for an interpreter of tongues. Great wages. Good hours. Better than banker's hours. When we look at all of these things, when we look at the gifts, and this series is about the gifts of the Spirit, we're going to be talking about the power of your gift. Now, we can't put an ad. We can't go on the internet. You can't watch a seminar on the prophetics and think, wow, I would really like to be a prophet. There are places that you can go to now that you can order material and learn how to be a prophet. The best way to learn how to be a prophet is to read the Bible, study the scripture, and share that, and people in the world today will think you're prophetic when they see things begin to take place. But you're really not a prophet if you're repeating something someone else has already prophesied. That's why I have an issue with a lot of modern-day prophets in our world today, because all they're doing is taking this prophetic word and putting it perhaps in their own tongue, their own version. And then they want everybody to send them money because I'm a prophet. Well, I guess in that case, we all are to a degree. But you see, we can't go on. We can't say, well, you know what? I want to be a prophet. I like that. They're mentioned first, the prophets. I want to be a teacher. I want to have a gift of healing. And they got three of these gifts. If I get another four, I get a fifth one free for $49.99. Send your money in, and we'll send you your certification. And just like that, you're now a prophet. You're an interpreter for tongues. You've got the gift of healing. You see, simply put, one is born into this kingdom. Did you get that? You don't sign up to become a member. You're born into the kingdom of God. We come in as a new member. We call them a new member or a new convert, a recently converted. Thus, we begin a growth process. Now, I was sitting here and I was looking at our young people during worship service, and I made some observations. One of the observations that I made was that we have some boys that really have grown. I mean, really have grown. And they're tall. And we have other boys that, like myself, when I was that age, man, if I put on a pound over a summer, I was ecstatic. I mean, I went into high school, I weighed 107, 1 pound less than Brother Seidel. I got married. When we got married, my wife and I, we were 2 pounds apart. I outweighed her by 2 pounds, and I weighed in at 120, dripping wet. I had to buy my pants in the boys' department of JCPenney's because I couldn't get anything in a men's store that was under a 28-inch waist. But I couldn't find a suit to match, so I never had a complete suit until I found Silverman's. Remember Silverman's in the mall years ago, guys? That was an awesome store. I bought my first matching suit at Silverman's. I had them take it up for me because it wouldn't fit my waist. So they took it up. And I was so proud of it until my mom began to break out hysterically laughing as I modeled my new suit. I said, "What's so funny?" And she said, "Well, who took this suit up?" I said, "Well, they have a tailor at Silverman's." She said, "Well, son, I need to do this, redo this for you before you wear this. Because, you see, the tailor just took in the 4 inches in the back. I don't know if they cut it out or what they did with it. But nevertheless, instead of having two pockets somewhat separated, I had one big unipocket. My back pockets were like right next to each other. It was rough. It was embarrassing being 22 years old and having to buy your underwear in the boys' department. I just said that, didn't I? What I'm trying to say is that as I look out across this congregation, just as we all grow different physically, we all grow different spiritually as well. We're not all on the same page. Where Brother Dave Hoff is not the same place that Sister Jeanette is. And where Brother Ben Thompson, he's not in the same place as Norman Puckett. Because we all grow different. It's not a bad thing, though. And we have to understand that. That's why it's very important in the scripture. We are given multiple times. It says, don't compare yourself one to another. Listen, I am not a John Grant. I have a brother named John. We call him Johnny. I have a father named John. We call him Bishop. I am not either one of them. I'm very different from both. I have some similarities. Very different from both. We all grow different. We all mature differently. So we begin this growth process. We grow different, and sometimes we have to understand that as the church grows, as we have people that come in and people that go out, we have people that are used in various gifts that are no longer here. And sometimes those gifts aren't instantly replaced by someone else in the body. And this is why it's very, very important. It's vitally important that if God has given you a specific gift and you don't use that gift, it affects all the rest of us. You're probably not used to hearing it put this way, but God has given us gifts. He didn't give us gifts to sit on. He gave them to be used for the edifying or the encouraging of one another. We'll get into this a little bit more. I'm thankful here at Calvary Gospel Church that we have a pretty, if I can say, deep bench in most areas of our ministry. But there's some areas that we're struggling in. And I wish to cover over these next few lessons some of those areas. A few weeks ago, on a Sunday morning, I attempted to speak, and I struggled that morning for whatever reasons. We talked about some spiritual maintenance issues. And it was in our second service that morning that we had a tongues and interpretation. And a tongues and interpretation is where there's someone speaks out in a different tongue. They don't speak out in English. I don't know what language. It's a heavenly, it's a God thing, it's supernatural. But they speak out in tongues, and then there is to be an interpretation. And the interpretation was a little slow in coming. And I talked with God later that day. I'm like, Lord, is there something wrong here? Are we doing something wrong? And I guess as a result of the conversation with God that day is kind of how this series all came to be. So I'm going to cover some very important points today concerning spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about the whys as well as the hows. We're going to talk about the gifts that are designed by God. And they're designed not for the use or the building up of one's self, but they're designed for the edification or the building up of our brothers and sisters. These are spiritual tools. Now, this past few days, I've been cleaning out my garage, my shop, and when we moved there, it's been 15 years we've lived there, and I put some totes and some tools on the shelf and toolboxes that I didn't even know what was in them. You lose track after time. And I'm looking at some of these, and I'm like, this hasn't been opened in 15 years, so I can almost guarantee whatever's in here, I haven't needed. I was a plumber by trade for a number of years, and I opened up a toolbox. I can't tell you how many times since I've lived there that I've gone and bought another copper cutter. I mean, any good plumber's got a dozen of them, and I opened up a toolbox, and there was a dozen of them. Nothing but copper cutters, and I'm like, good, oh, my word. Rigids, the good ones, they don't make, they probably make them still. I don't know, Brother Jeff, but I gave them away. Brother Ed Simmons was there, and I said, I don't know, sell these on Facebook Marketplace, I don't care, but I filled his minivan full of used tools. You see, tools that were pertinent to the plumbing trade. If you're a plumber, you need a copper cutter. You need some of these hand tools, that a channel locks. A good plumber is going to have three pair of channel locks, three different sizes, and he carries them in his back pocket. And when he gets in his truck at night, that panel channel locks, because the ends of the plastic has worn off, they begin that metal, and every plumber's truck has holes in the seats from his channel locks. The tools of the trade. Gifts of the Spirit are no different to a church. They're tools of the trade. And they're used by the saints to edify the saints. So these are spiritual tools that God has placed within his body, not to sit pretty in a toolbox to collect or to sit in a toolbox on a shelf for 15 years collecting dust, but they are tools that are designed by God to use. on a daily basis. A daily basis. But as with any tool, you go buy some of the tools. Some of the tools I'm familiar with, they come with an instruction manual. A how-to, perhaps, to use this particular tool. Now, we're going to read a passage of Scripture today. It's a lengthy passage. And I'm going to stop. We're going to take breaks as we go through this. But I want you to understand that this particular passage of Scripture was the Apostle Paul giving a how to use spiritual gifts manual, perhaps, to the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth, we call it Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, spiritual gifts. You can turn there in your Bibles. He was laying it out because they're having troubles with some things. And just because you have trouble with something doesn't mean that everything is bad. It may just simply be that some new folks haven't read the manual yet to learn how to use the tool. It can be that simple. So we're going to start. Paul starts out. He just jumps right into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. He's laying it out. I know that when you were pagans, when you weren't, before you came to church, you were led astray to mute idols. However you were led, whatever your backstory is, wherever you came from. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking the Spirit of God, in the Spirit of God, ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And he starts to dive right into this. He says, now there are varieties of gifts. A number of different gifts. There's a lot of different tools in our spiritual toolbox. But the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them and everyone. This is important. This is why if you are exercising or you feel perhaps you have a spiritual gift, you must understand it has to be from God. It's not something that you personally desire to have, so you go online to read about it, study about it, and now you are one. It's a gift from God. It's a variety, but it's the same God who empowers them and everyone. And to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The gifts you're given are designed for all of us, not just you. For to one is given the spirit of utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge. But it's all the same source, the same Spirit that's giving these. To another, faith by the same Spirit. He lays it right out. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. We call that discerning. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. These are all empowered by one and the same Spirit. And who is that Spirit? It's the Holy Ghost. It's God. Correct? Who apportions to each one individually as they want. No. Who apportions to each one individually as they desire. No. It's appropriated It's given out. These gifts are given out as God, as He wills, as He desires. That's very, very important. One body with many members. And he goes in, he says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For all in one spirit we were baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks. Jerry talked about that this morning, about Jesus not being a prophet without honor in his own country. This was still an issue all of those years later. Those race issues were still very prevalent, very prominent, something they were still fighting. And he makes it very clear, Paul here, that it doesn't matter if you're Jew, doesn't matter if you're Greek, doesn't matter if you're a slave, doesn't matter if you're free, it does not matter. And all were made to drink of one spirit, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Then he decides here, Paul, that, you know what? I want to make this so plain that nobody is going to misunderstand what I'm saying. So he goes into an object lesson, an analogy. He says that the foot should say, how many of you have feet? Most of us have two of them. Most of us have two hands. Two eyes, one nose with two nostrils, one mouth, two ears. The reason we don't have two mouths is because if we had two mouths, our brains would never be able to keep up, and our ears would be flooded. But you see, he goes into this. He says, you got one foot, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. That would not make it any less of the part of the body. Now, we could look at this. If the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I don't belong. If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell? But it is. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. God designed all of this. How many of you feel that your liver, perhaps? How many of you have ever seen your liver? Your liver. How many have ever seen your liver? You wake up in the morning, you go in, you're shaving, and you look down, and you're like, oh, my word. Where's my liver? It must not have been happy where it's at. It wants to get out and see the world. Do you believe your liver is important? How many of you believe your eyes are important? Is the eye any more important than the liver? Or is the liver any more important than the eye? I would look at it and say, I can live without my eyes, but I can't live without a liver. But I can't see my liver, so I don't even know if it's there. I don't even know if it exists. I've never seen my heart. I've never seen my lungs. I got no idea if they're even in there. But you see, this is what Paul is saying. Now, he's using digits that we can see, but a lot of this are digits that we can't see but are vitally critical and important. So, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? That's why you don't walk down the street. You just see a whole bunch of feet with nothing else cruising down the street. Look out, look out. Here come a whole, man, there's a, there's a, There's a flood of kidneys cruising through here right now. Where are they all? You see, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Any more than the liver can look at the hand and say, I've never seen you, I don't need you. Or any more than the ear can look at the pancreas and say, I don't need you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are the parts of the body that you can't always see are what? Indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, nobody comes up to you and say, oh, my words. Man, Brother Robert Tidwell, you have a gorgeous pancreas. Whew. We don't see that. We look at people like, man, you're a handsome guy. No wonder Sister Rachel chased you down. Maybe she didn't, actually, but I'm embellishing here. I can do that. I had the microphone. Just joking. So, all of these are parts of the body. We think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving great honor to the part that lacked it. And there be no division in the body. The body only works when it works together. But that the members may have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, they all suffer. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God hath appointed in the church first apostles. We like to hone in on what's mentioned first. First apostles, then prophets. Teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. And he goes on and says, are all apostles? These are questions. Are all apostles? Is the church full of nothing but apostles? Is the church full of nothing but prophets? Is the church full of nothing but teachers? Is the church full of nothing but miracle workers? Is the church filled? Do we all possess the gift of healing? And do we all speak with tongues? And do we all interpret? So when we get into half church, we can't even have church because we're all speaking in tongues and we're all interpreting. And we're all laying our hands on everybody and we're all healing everybody. And then we're all prophets. We're all prophetic. We're all apostles. We're all planting churches. Notice these are all questions that he's asking the church in Corinth. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. Now, this was a long passage. I'm not going to read this passage this way every time we have this series, but I wanted you to understand the conversation and the context in which Paul was putting into writing when he addressed these issues with the church in Corinth. So let's stand. You see, within this series, we're going to lay out a path for each of us to determine. How does God wish to use me? How does God want to use me? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that the God that said, let there be light, desires to use you? Sometimes we look at it and we think, God, I'm not worthy. I don't have all of these gifts. I don't possess. I'm not the cool guy on the pew. I wish I could just look as cool as Roman George. I don't want to not pick. I'm just saying, we think that though, don't we? Josh Stone over there, man, does he look cool. He's got it all together. Man, I just wish I had the intellect of Brother Emmett Caskey and the wit of Sister Mary Caskey. We look at all of this. And God's saying, wait a minute. Back up a bit. What did I give you? What's in your toolbox? What have you even opened it recently to see what's even in it? Or is it just going to sit on a shelf for another 15 years and the answers, the gifts, the tools that God has given to you may be sitting totally idle because you don't even know they exist because you're not looking for them. You're trying to go to the hardware store to buy replacements. But God's like, I've already given this to you. So as this series unfolds, we're going to learn that not all of us have the same gifts. Just like we're not all the same. Our bodies aren't all the same. Our minds, we don't all think. And God uses us according. So as we finish out this message here this morning, this is very, very, started off very, very simple, but we have to understand the format, the foundation in which God works and how he works when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. We look at the big ones. We look at the prophet, the apostles, the teachers, the pastors. But there are so many other gifts that God gives. We don't even see. So as I open up this altar, this in front of the church here this morning, I'm just going to invite you to come down and say, God, I want to make a promise to you this year. I want to use whatever gifts you have given me. And if you open up your toolbox and it's not the gifts that you thought or the gift you wanted or the gift you wished you had, trust me, if you use what he gives you, he may not be giving you more because you just simply aren't using what you got. Maybe you're one of those guys or gals that never like to follow instructions. You get a new project, and before you even get it put together, you got it broken because you're trying to put it together without reading instructions. I've done that. I remember the first baby carriage we bought for Lana when she was just a little gal to push her babies around in. That thing, I got so aggravated, frustrated. I don't need instructions on how to put together a stupid baby carriage. I gave up. I mean, I tell you, I kicked about every star I could see out of the heavens. My wife comes in, sits down, reads the instructions. I come home later. It's all put together, sitting in the middle of the living room. Lana's got her little babies in it. She's pushing it, so happy. Guys, sometimes we just don't want to stop long enough to really find out what the instruction manual's telling us. We just want to plow in, and when it doesn't work, we're mad at everybody. So as our worship team begins to sing this morning, I just want you to take some time. God, what have you given me? What's in my tool chest?
I surrender to you.
God bless you.
Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, I surrender all to you. Everything I give
Everything.
Praise the Lord, church. Thank you so very much, Brother Jerry, for a great Bible study this morning. To our worship team, thank you so very much. This Wednesday evening, Sister Linda Brown will be continuing our Bible study on prayer. How many are you using your prayer wheel? If you can't do 5 minutes in each category, do a minute. Do 2 minutes. Whatever you can do, just do something. Just want to encourage you to do something. And as you go through and you hit that little portion in your prayer wheel where it talks about praying about yourself and maybe needs, things you're struggling with, start to ask God. If you don't feel like God is using you to the capacity that you would like to be used or you feel, start asking those questions. Lord, what is it? Why? Am I doing something wrong? Am I missing something here? And then when it comes to your spot in that prayer wheel where it says you meditate and you listen, meditate and listen. But I want to encourage you, when you meditate and listen, get your notebook. Have your notepad ready. Because I have many times prayed and asked God, many times have I said, Lord, I need an answer. And God gives me an answer and I don't write it down. And, you know, sometimes our memory's not the best. We think we remember everything. But write it down. As God speaks to you, write it down and put a date on it. Okay? I'm encouraging you here. This is how we grow, how we mature. This is how we take things that we listen to in a message. We take it home. We take one or more messages. We combine that material. We pick up the prayer wheel. We learn about prayer. We learn about our Bible study, God's Word for Life. We've got our series going on. And you put all of this together to make a better you. I want to be the best I can be. Not just for the army, but for God. And we want to be the best we can be. So, God bless you. We will see you back here on Wednesday. Have a blessed week.